3 John, page 1230. Greg's going to read it for us. But let me say a prayer before we do that. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for all that you make known to us in your word, the Bible, of yourself, of ourselves, of the world we live in. And we pray, please give us ears to hear and hearts to receive all that you have to say to us this morning as we read it together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, just as you are progressing spiritually. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that they may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church that Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of their church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do it with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be with you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends by their name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Greg, for reading for us. Please do keep that letter open in front of you. Well, there are many places in the Bible that teach us about the nature of gospel friendship. And this letter by the Apostle John is one of them. Friendships are precious. Friends might be people you share an interest with. Perhaps you sing in a choir with them, or play sport together, or see each other at the allotment. They might be people you have an experience in common with. Perhaps you went to school together or university. Perhaps you worked together. They might be people you see on a regular basis or just from time to time. We value our friendships and invest in them. Well, this letter is from one friend to another. It's a personal letter. It comes from John, who refers to himself as the elder, signifying his authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it's to his dear friend, Gaius. So these are two men who knew each other personally. And we can feel the warmth between them. See how John begins nearly every paragraph. Verse 2, dear friend. Verse 5, dear friend. Verse 11, dear friend. And John's greeting expresses the basis of this close friendship. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. what has brought these two friends together is not a shared hobby or a common experience, but their shared faith in the truth about Jesus. Well, as we'll see, the purpose of the letter is to encourage Gaius to keep supporting a group of missionaries who have gone out to proclaim the truth about Jesus to others. Gaius might be tempted to withdraw his support from these missionaries, and John wants to caution him against doing so. That's the subject of the letter, and we'll think about what John says as we come to it. But as we look at the details, I want to pick out three marks of gospel friendship that are clear in what John writes. They are firstly personal concern, secondly godly encouragement, and thirdly wise counsel. So firstly then, personal concern. Those who know God have experienced his personal concern. And that's because God is relational. A friendship is at the core of his being. He's existed in eternity in the loving friendship of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To know him is to be welcomed into the most precious relationship we can ever experience. It's a relationship that's defined by love. To know God is to be loved by someone who wants the very best for you in every area of your life. It's to know that he's interested in everything you do and feel and go through. Now, there's no part of your life that he doesn't care about. It's to wake up in the morning knowing that you're loved and valued and precious. And no human relationship can top it. If you haven't yet come to know God's love for you like that, then please do speak with me after the service, and I'll be pleased to talk with you about his love for you in Christ. But when we do know God's love for us and have experienced his personal concern like that, then we cannot help but show a similar concern for others. Look at verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, just as you are progressing spiritually. See, John is genuinely concerned for Gaius as a person. Now, he cares about him. He cares about his health. He wants everything to be going well for him. His friendship is real. It's nothing unusual. It's very normal. Two friends meet in a cafe. They wait patiently at the counter to order a cup of tea and a mug of coffee. While they're there, as they wait, they might eye up the assortment of cakes and muffins and perhaps ask for one of those as well. And then they take their drinks, sit down at a table, and one of them says to the other, "Right then, tell me everything. What's going on with you?" And they start talking. So that's what friendship looks like. And it's what our friendships with each other in the church should look like. When we know God's love for us, our relationships can't be formal and standoffish. When we see each other, we won't be satisfied with just talking about the weather and the rain's right on cue, or commenting on football results. We'll be genuinely interested in each other's lives. We'll want to know what's going on, and we'll want things to be going well. Friends talk to each other. They show an interest in the details of each other's lives, and they open up to each other. But our concern for each other doesn't end there. Look at verse 3. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. It's the joy that all believers have in knowing that our friends are going on well with the Lord. Now, of all the things we're concerned about, this is the most important. We know that there's nothing more precious than God's love for us, and we rejoice to know that our friends are staying close to Him through faith in Jesus and experiencing that love for themselves. Well, John has already told Gaius that he prays for him, that everything would be going well for him. And when he receives news that Gaius is still walking in the truth, well, I think I can see him falling to his knees and offering up a prayer of praise and thanksgiving to God. This is what gospel friendship looks like. It's a genuine concern for each other's well-being, especially each other's spiritual well-being, that's rooted in love and expressed in prayer. And when you and I have experienced God's love for us in Christ, that love will inevitably flow from us to others. We'll love each other, and we will pray for each other. If that isn't what your friendships look like in the church, well, the application of this sermon isn't to try harder, do better, and pull your socks up. Rather, it's to draw closer to God. Spend time with Him in His Word. Speak with Him in prayer. Ask Him to show you how wide and long and high and deep is His love for you in Christ. Ask Him to warm your heart with His love. And ask that His love would flow from you to others more and more, expressed in a genuine concern for their good. And as He answers your prayer, which He will, this personal concern for others isn't all that will flow out from you. So too will the desire to share with them godly encouragement, which is our second heading, godly encouragement. Look at verse 5 with me. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They've told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. Well, as we'll see, there's a situation in the church that John needs to address. But before he gets to that, he gives Gaius some much-needed encouragement. He commends Gaius for supporting some missionaries who had passed their way. Gaius had offered them hospitality. Now, he had possibly given them financial support and provisions as well. And in supporting them, he had done two things. Now, he had expressed love. Now, he didn't know them personally. They were strangers to him, John says. But through his hospitality, he had expressed love for these fellow believers. And he had partnered with them for the sake of the gospel. And this kind of a gospel partnership is essential for mission. And non-Christians don't give their money to support Christian missionaries. And why would they? The support missionaries need must come from their fellow believers. It's something we ought to be doing, John says. So when we give this kind of support to missionaries like the Krilovis in the Czech Republic and to the Congregation of Christ Central in Soweto and to the team at Speak Life here in the UK, we're expressing that same love and gospel partnership. Well done, John says. What you're doing is great. Keep it up. And what an encouragement it must have been to Gaius to read those words. Now, a few words of encouragement can go a long way. And when I was at Bible by the Beach a few months ago, I went to a seminar about parenting. Ed Drew, who heads up Faith in Kids, was leading the seminar and he took questions. A woman raised her hand and said, "Every day I open the Bible with my children and try to teach them about Jesus, but it never goes as I hoped." And then she listed a whole load of things that kept going wrong. They were rolling around on the furniture, getting distracted, wandering off. And it was clear that she was discouraged. And Ed just said to her, "Wait a minute. Every day you open the Bible with your children. That's amazing. That's brilliant. Well done. Keep going." And that small bit of encouragement changed everything. It made such a difference for this woman at that seminar. See, friends pay attention to each other, how each other is doing spiritually. They talk about spiritual things and they affirm and encourage each other in all that's good and godly and right. They spur each other on. That's what our friendships in the church should be like. That we should all be encouragers. And this encouragement comes from God. He is an encourager. In his word, the Bible, he assures us of his loving purposes for us in Christ and gives us great promises to hold on to. He sends his Spirit into our hearts to help us and strengthen us. And he gives us each other to encourage and support one another. Gospel friendship is full of the encouragement that God gives. Well, all friendships are precious, but gospel friendships are especially precious because they provide the context in which we can support and encourage each other as together we follow Christ. Gospel friendship is characterized by godly encouragement. And finally, gospel friendship is characterized by wise counsel, which is our third heading, wise counsel. Please look down again at verses 9 to 13. "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I'll call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name." Well, as he sat writing this letter, John was quite possibly the only apostle still alive. It was approaching the end of the apostolic era, a time of great transition in the church, a time during which authority was being handed over from the apostles to a new generation of church leaders. And it seems almost inevitable that this transition would bring tension and possibly even rivalry. And so John's opening joy that Gaius was walking in the truth turns to concern over the influence of Diotrephes, who seems to have held some form of authority in the church. This isn't the first time that John had written, but Diotrephes apparently had discarded his previous letter and refused to recognize John's authority. He had spread malicious nonsense about John to discredit him. And he'd gone further. Unlike Gaius, Diotrephes had not only refused to welcome other believers, such as these visiting missionaries, but had used his position in the church to stop others from doing so too. And the reason he had behaved this way is stated in verse 9. Rather than putting the gospel first, Diotrephes loved to put himself first. Rather than honouring those who went out for the name of Christ, he was concerned only with the glory of his own name. Rather than building Christ's kingdom, he was interested only building his own kingdom. We live in a culture where personal ambition is expected and even praised. And we're not immune to it in the church. It's not unusual to come across somebody who's treating an area of ministry as their own mini empire, or using the church for their own selfish interests. But there's no place for personal ambition or empire building in the church. Those who are concerned with their own cause will be opponents of God's cause. So John says, when I come, I'll expose what Diotrephes is doing openly and publicly. Now, I'll deal with him. But John's aware of a further danger, and this is probably his main reason for writing this letter to his friend. This is what he's been building up to. He's concerned that Gaius might be swayed by Diotrephes' malicious gossip. He might be taken in by his lies and allow himself to be drawn into copying his behaviour. We're all prone to imitating the behaviour of those around us. And perhaps John can see disaster looming. And Gaius had been doing well. He had partnered with the travelling missionaries. He had supported their gospel work through his hospitality. But there was a real danger that he might now withdraw that support because of the malicious influence of Diotrephes. So John's instruction to Gaius is simple. Be very careful whose behavior you copy. Whoever does what is evil has not seen God, he says. In other words, Diotrephes is not the real deal. His behavior is evil. Copying him is a sure path to spiritual ruin. So he says, be very careful, Gaius. Don't imitate evil, but imitate good. And in verse 12, John commends Demetrius, who's possibly the postman. He may well have carried the letter from John to Gaius. And he's an example of a good role model to contrast with the bad example of Diotrephes, John says. Everyone speaks well of him. Measured against the truth of the gospel, it's clear to see that his faith is genuine. And John adds his own testimony, speaking as an apostle. Here is someone who does what is good. In the context of the letter, he is someone who loves his fellow believers and partners with them for the sake of the gospel. Copy him, John says, not Diotrephes. Well, John has more to say, which can wait until they're face to face. But for now, this short letter will do. So here is wise counsel carefully given by one friend to another. And this is what friendship looks like. See, you and I can be heading towards spiritual disaster without seeing it. It can be our friends who see it before we do. And in those circumstances, friends don't remain quiet. They speak up. They will do so with gentleness and humility, but they will speak up. Friends give each other wise counsel. And of course, the wisdom we need doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from God. There is no sin that God doesn't warn us against in his word, the Bible. In his great mercy, he teaches us how to live well. In his infinite kindness, he warns us again and again against going down paths that lead to spiritual disaster. And he does that because he loves us. Friends who love one another pass on the wisdom they discover in God's word to one another. As we grow closer to God and become more and more like his son, Jesus Christ, this is the quality of friendship that we should expect to have among us in the church. It's friendship in which we express genuine concern for one another. It's friendship in which we share godly encouragement with one another. It's friendship in which we pass on God's wise counsel to one another. Gospel friendship is the most precious type of friendship we can have. So let's love each other as God loves us. Let's be encouragers and spur each other on with the encouragement that God provides. And let's help each other to live well as we counsel each other with the wisdom that comes from above. And then our friendships here in the church really will be precious. Let's pray. Loving Father, we long to have gospel friendships here at Emmanuel. The kind of friendships that we read about here in this letter from John to Gaius. So please help each of us to draw close to you. And as we do, please would your love, your encouragement, and your wisdom abound among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.